Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to be here. Yeah, what Mr. Booth was saying somehow on the board last week, it showed me as a split sermon. And I'm glad it didn't still say that today because I'm just going to give a sermonette and then split. And that's all I can do. Well, we have less than 2 weeks until the Passover. We're almost there. Spring is in the air. Let's start with a Passover scripture in 1 Corinthians 11. And this scripture can be kind of intimidating when we read it. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So that can be daunting, thinking that we could be bringing that judgment upon ourselves. And who can measure up? I mean, nobody is perfect. One person said to me that she cried every time she read that verse in preparation for Passover. But are we meant to worry that we're not worthy when we go into Passover? Is that really what God intended with this? And I think we all know that the answer is no. But as we're going through our preparation, we still could have that in the back of our mind that we're not doing enough and our spiritual de-leavening is still going to leave us falling short and being unworthy. But that's not how we should feel, because perfection is not the standard for being worthy to attend Passover. I remember when I was a little kid, my mom had come into the church and she was raising me and raising my brothers, and I would see her get up at 6 in the morning because she worked all day, so she got up super early so she could do her Bible study first thing, and you know, she didn't get a whole lot of sleep. And I would look up at her, you know, as a baptized member of the church and think, you know, wow, she is just so righteous. She's almost perfect. And I just kind of extrapolated it out to all the adults in the church, you know, looking at them and hearing all the things that they would talk about and all the knowledge that they had. And I just kind of thought that everybody in the church baptized was almost perfect. And then I became an adult and I got to know other adults and how the real world was, and I realized that we're pretty much not almost perfect, all of us here. But what was Paul really talking about, or why did he have to address this? If we go back to verse 17, we can see the context. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each of you takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to live in, to eat in or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? So Paul is dealing with a bunch of problems where people were coming and they were jockeying for position, and someone was rich and had a lot of food and left other people with nothing and were inconsiderate, and people were getting drunk. And then they were turning around and taking the Passover. So they weren't taking it with the seriousness and sobriety that it deserved, because it is a big deal, Christ's sacrificing his life. And we need to consider that with the gravity that it is. And people weren't doing that. So they were doing all these other physical things and letting all their squabbles overshadow the Passover. So Paul is trying to tell them, don't be flippant. Don't take it for granted when you take it. In fact, he says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we have a self-examination time going up to the Passover where we do judge ourselves. But we're the ones doing the judging. We're not being judged for our imperfections. So it's Passover isn't like a final exam that if you're not passing perfectly that you lose your crown or something. It is an exam, but it's a self-exam, right? It's where we take a look at ourselves, and we don't have to pass the perfection test in order to take the Passover worthily. So we examine ourselves when we're going through the spiritual de-leavening process, the self-assessment process. We take a brutally honest look at our lives and where we are and what progress we've made since the last year. We look for our blind spots. But the state of being de-leavened isn't what happens when we try really hard. Rather, it's what happens when we actually accept Christ's sacrifice at the Passover. He makes us de-leavened through that sacrifice. But trying hard is still good. It just won't get us to where we want to be. So you might be thinking, well, hold on, your theology is wrong because, you know, Jesus Christ himself said, well, be you perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So in that sense, perfection is the standard that we're all striving toward and that we'll all eventually obtain. But we need Christ to get us there. We can't get us there on our own. And besides, if we were already perfect, we wouldn't need the Passover, right? The whole point of the Passover is to accept the sacrifice of Christ to pay for our sins, right? If we didn't have any sins, then it would kind of lose a lot of its meaning for us. And nobody here with kids would reject their kids because they're not perfect, right? We all love our kids, our high-achieving kids, our struggling kids, you know, with all the personalities and all the stages of development that they're in. We love all of our kids, those of us who are parents. And we wouldn't think that it's any different for God with all of his children. Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In other words, God wants you to win. He wants you to be there, and he wants you to win. He wants you to make it. And he's not ready to zap you if you walk into Passover when you're not perfect. Another memory verse that we know, Romans 6:23, says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So Passover is the anniversary of the giving of that gift. And it's also the anniversary of us receiving that gift. And nobody was called by mistake. We were all called for a purpose, and God knew what he was doing when he called each of us. And he didn't call any perfect people. So to wrap up, let's look at Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So just as we come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer every day, let's also come boldly and confidently to accept Christ's sacrifice at Passover.